The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so before we do the next parak, I got a response from my Dutch monarchy loving friend about this halacha, which we read yesterday, which is in Hilchos Melachim Milchamos 1:7. It says, V'lo hamalchus bilvad, ela kol hasroros, v'chol haminyuim shebi Yisrael, Yerusha libno v'lben beno ad olam. So not only malchus, but all authorities and all appointments in Israel are an inheritance from father to son forever. V'hu, shehi ha-bein memalei makom avos ha-b'chachma v'yira. That's provided that the son is a adequate replacement in terms of chachma and yira. Okay, so the question I posed this to a lot of people, but I also posed it to Yoel, which is, help me as a 21st century American who views pure meritocracy as like an ideal, help me to understand the rationale behind having all appointments and positions be hereditary, okay? And I said, don't write me a 140-page treatise on it. So he said he stopped himself before he started pulling books off the shelf. So this is what he wrote. Okay, he says, one, the child is raised by the leader and thus has seen how to be a leader from his youth. Okay. Two, standing in a long line of leaders with all their successes and failures creates a family tradition of knowledge from lived experiences within a community, something that abstract theory and ideological visionaries often lack. It's another good point. Three, hereditary leaders have a long vision of preserving the community for their children and grandchildren. Elected officials often will have to make all types of promises to get elected for their temporary rule, and they might throw all kinds of money at the public to keep being voted in again and to make it appear they're doing something. The future is someone else's concern, not the hereditary leader, right? That's that also you see in The Crown about each person in the chain is very concerned with what the current, you know, monarch is doing to like enhance or jeopardize. You know, you could lose this. This has been going for centuries. You could lose this for all of us, you know. Four, hereditary leaders have the personality they are born with. Even if mediocre, they are statistically less likely to be a power-hungry maniac compared to those who seek power in that brutal fight to the top. I think that gets to what you were talking about with oftentimes elected leaders like will clamor for power and then become like tyrants, you know. I mean, obviously, all of these can cut both ways. I'm not... just to be clear also, I didn't ask why is this a better system. I asked what is the rationale behind the system. And I think those are two very different questions. Okay, five, because clearly there are downsides to monarchy also and to hereditary leadership. Five, the hereditary leader has been with the community he leads from day one, and thus his subjects relate to his family name in the sense of familiarity, continuation, stability, and group identity. Think about what would happen if my name was not Skopper, but Soloveitchik. We all know how my words will automatically have more weight, even among those who have never met me. Accepting my authority would come much more naturally. Yeah. I told him, well, there happens to be someone in the shir. Okay, six. Hereditary leaders are expected to be the next leader. It is mundane. New leaders will come with much stronger supporters, but also detractors. It will create division because everyone will be looking for their own self-interest or vision who should be the leader. Seven, as for monarchy, clear rules for who will be the heir by birth prevented wars of succession. That's a big one for monarchy. We can understand that. Yeah.
That's clearly not the case of the Rambam.
For succession,
it was pretty explicitly precludes that benefit.
What do you mean?
As he says, only if the person is fitting to take up.
Oh right, yeah, yeah, which is correct. Yeah, yeah.
Self-subjected enough that basically.
Yeah, so Yoel addresses that next. He says Rambam's view is slightly different, as he requires fear of God, which will introduce possible conflict, but only on the matter of being righteous. This means that egomaniacal Talmid Chachamim would be less likely to be able to take over either, as it is not a matter of who is the greatest mind, but who is publicly known as a good person, which I think is a good point. Rambam says Chachman Yiras Hashem also, so I don't know if Yoel is taking that into account. And then he says, all of the above is also abstract, but it is the type of arguments given from the Greeks until today for hereditary leadership, which is the historical intellectual context Rambam is clearly part of. How it stands up in different historical periods, I do not know. Democracy had a bad reputation until the 19th century. Yeah, Rindy always used to point this out, that like democracy was like an insult, like a, you know, oh, you're a Democrat, like in terms of like, you know, popular rule. The Italian republics were not democracies either. People back then did not know that in the future we would have such amazing leaders like Joe Biden and Donald Trump by democracy, so we can't blame them. Okay, Yoel likes to be rabble-rousing to that. Yeah, so I think that does give me a lot more context. And there was another discussion, which I didn't record here, about how Moshe Halbertal in his book, Maimonides, writes about how that was one of the ways that the Rambam was disillusioned about the Gaonim. Because early in the Rambam's career, the Rambam actually explicitly says that in one of his biggest mistakes in the Pirshei Mishnayos was he relied way too much on the Gaonim. And then as he went through and wrote the Mishnah Torah, he went back and changed a lot of his psak about the Gaonim. So Halbertal has a theory that, you know, that the Rambam was like opposed to the hereditary position of the Gaonim and wanted to subvert it. And that was part of the motive of writing the Mishnah Torah, to like make it so that halacha was independent of the Gaonet. So someone commented on that. And then one of my other friends commented and said, if so, then that makes a very interesting subtext for this halacha about being Mamale Makum in Chachma and Yiras Hashem, you know, that the Rambam is, emphasizing that point. Yeah, what were you going to say? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I thought that was a nice little follow up there. Okay. So today, let's do Kavod HaMalchus. Yeah.
I saw you said to you, but not issues. But I thought also, with the hereditary positions, if, say, there is someone else who's getting tyrannical and takes power, a hereditary institution is much more ability to resist that because they have a claim to authority. It's not just from
the right. Spirit. That's true. It makes it more resilient. Right. Also, if you have a hereditary malchus, then you can go summon a ghost army if you need to, if you're the heir to the, yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. So we're doing Kavod HaMelech now. And I mentioned to Chaim before Shir that we really should have, or not, you mentioned we should have done this. I was going to say that really these halachos, I have an expectation, which is that this is going to help us to understand Kavod Hashem, because we relate to Hashem as Melech, and we in this room nowadays don't really have living models of that in a way that is real to us. So we kind of, our best get, you know, best way to get it is to abstract it from the halachos, you know, because that's what Klal Yisrael had. Kavod Gadol Nogim Melech. We treat the king with great kavod. Umesimin lo ema v'yira b'leiv kol adam. And we instill his dread and fear in the heart of every person. Shneimar, as it says, som tasim alecha melech, shetiyye emaso alecha, so that his fear will be upon you. Okay. Ein rochavin al susa. We do not ride on his horse. Ein yoshin al kiso. We do not sit on his throne. Ein mishtamshin b'sharvita. We don't use his scepter. V'lo b'kisro, not his crown. V'lo b'echa mikol kli tashmisho, not any one of his implements. Ukeshuhu meis kulam nisrafim lefanav. And when he dies, all of these things are burned in front of him. Which I guess, does that include the horse? It says kulam. That's interesting.
I thought we maim the horse or something like that.
Oh, do we? I mean, maybe. I mean, it sounds like he's saying something like that. I want to point out also, by the way, that I don't know what the conventions were in Persia, but in light of this halacha, you really see how brazen Haman's request is to wear the king's crown and horse and parade around like the king. You know, like that's like a. You know, if this, to the extent that this is an absolute thing, then like, you know, yeah, this is bad. Have you seen The King's Speech?
Come on.
Have you seen The King's Speech? Oh, one of the best movies. Okay, fine. I won't spoil it then. Spoiler, he becomes king. Okay. V'chein lo yishtamish v'avadav v'shifchosav v'shamashav. Ella Melech Acher. The only person who can use his servants, his maidservants, and his attendants is another king. Lefikach Avishag Haisa Muteris LeShlomo. That's why Avishag was Muter to Shlomo, Basura La Adonia, and Asur to Adonia. So in other words, it's not an absolute Isser. You can. It's interesting that there's gradations in terms of the human servants, because we're going to see in a second about Ishto Shel Melech, but the wife of the king, Ina Nivelas LaAcher LaOlam. She cannot be bead to another person forever. Afilu hamelach eno nose al manaso o grushaso shel melach acher. Even a king cannot marry the widow or the divorcee of another king. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. V'aser liros oso kishu arum. It's aser to see the king when he's naked. V'lo kishu mistaper, and not when he's nor when he's getting his haircut. V'lo kishu beves amerchatz, and not when he is in a bathhouse. By the way, the haircut thing might support what I said yesterday, why we were wondering why a barber can't be a king, because that's a lowly profession. It might be that having your hair cut was viewed as like a hygienic, like an unsavory hygienic thing, as opposed to, let's say, like no one says, oh, you're going to a hairstylist? Ugh. You know, like that's nasty. Like, you know, but back then maybe it was the case. Of lo kishu mistapeg. And now when he's being sponge bathed, dried off, right? I know this is from the Avodas Yom Kippurim on Yom Kippur, where the Kohen Gadol gets out of the mikveh olav umistapag, and he like dries off. So I don't know. I mean, I assumed he would be naked at that point, but I guess that also says based on merchatz. So I don't know. V'inu choletz shnemar v'yarka b'fanav v'ze b'zayon. So I think it means that you cannot take off his shoes because that is a b'zayon. Let me just double check that. He may not perform chalitza. Never mind. He cannot do actual chalitza.
Because she has to spit. Is that v'yarka b'fanav? Is that she spits? Is that why?
I think he's saying... Yeah.
I don't know what that pasuk means. Right, but does that mean
doesn't involve spitting? The zeh bizayon, and that's the bizayon for her to spit. Yeah, afilu rata in shomin lo. Even if he wants to, then we don't listen. Or she wants. I think she wants. No. He wants. Rata. Yeah. If he wants to, then we don't listen to him. Shamelach shemachal kvodok in kvodam machal. So that's it's funny. He introduces that point here that a king may not be machal on his kavod. A king who is machal on his kavod is not machal because it belongs to the state. V'hoyo v'eino choletz eino miyabim. And since he can't do chalitza, he also can't do yibum. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. So he's mufka from the whole institution then. V'chein. That's what I thought until that sentence. Yeah. V'chein kemen she'yev shar liyabim es ishto kach ein cholzin la ela teshiv la'olam b'zikasa. And just as he cannot be, also similarly, since he cannot be miyabim his wife, he cannot be choletz for her. And she must remain in her state of zika forever. Okay, meslo mes. If someone, one of his relatives,
realizing, assuming that someone else is getting their hair cut, then you still have to have at least one person who washes this.
You have to do it blind. Yeah. No, you're right. I would think so. Right. I would think.
What?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, wouldn't the this has nothing to do with the hair cutting, but okay. Wouldn't the chalitza or I should say the yibum issue of his wife doing you or having yibum done to her, wouldn't that be a problem? Because we already said that his widow can't be tashmish.
Yeah, right. I mean, he can't do yibum to if his brother dies and his wife and the brother doesn't have a kid, then he can't do yibum with her. Right.
Right.
But so she remains in her zika state. So she can't do.
Kevin Shiev Charlie Yavim as Ishto, is that he can't do Yibum to
since he can't do Yibum to his own with his own since Yibum huh. Wait. Yeah, I am missing something. Yeah, do you have
does this also potter
all his siblings are doing Yibum?
Does it potter what?
All siblings?
I would think so. No,
okay, like, remember we thought there's some crystal about Yibum, like that if there's one sibling that you can't do with, it automatically you can't do with anyone.
Hold on, let me just go to chabad.org. Not Chad, chabad.org. Okay.
Well, I have me and Israel, man.
The V'chein is throwing me off. Or the Kevan.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. So, there's no footnotes here. Okay, let's just read the. He may not perform chalitza. For concerning that ritual, it is said that it is disrespectful. So that's if his brother dies, right, without a kid, then he cannot do chalitza with
his wife.
With his sister-in-law, because she would have to spit in front of him and say kacha yazalish, etc. So that's disrespectful for him. Okay, fine. Then, since he is not allowed to perform chalitza, he is not eligible to participate in yibum. Similarly, in the event of his death, it is forbidden to initiate yibum with his wife. Okay, so he adds, right? Yeah.
So that's
your
point.
Question then, right? Is that wouldn't that be covered by the case before? Because no one's allowed to marry his wife anyway. So I guess there is still a havamina that that Yibum would work, or that
what was Yibum the what was the sorry what was the lashon he used before? Was it that no one can be shimush or tashmish? Was it tashmish or was it
is ina niv'eles So
I wonder if, like, I mean, Nosa wouldn't, I mean, Yibum isn't exactly Nisua.
I think Yibum definitely has its own, like, exceptional, you know, like, track, you know? So I just don't know enough about Yibum to know that this is actually a Havamina. I mean, apparently it is. But, yeah. Okay, let's just do two more. Mace lo mace, if one of he loses a karov, eno yotze mi pesach paltorin shalo, he cannot leave his palace. Ukshamavinoson, when they do the coming by to comfort him, koham misuvin al haaretz, all of the people recline on the ground. Vahu mesev al hadargish, and he reclines on the dargish. What's a dargish? A low couch. Okay. Yeah.
Doesn't the Rambam hold that? Is that a chiddush that everybody sits on the ground? And because the Rambam holds that in general, when you're menachem avil, don't you that you have to sit lower than the avil? No.
Yeah, but do you have to sit on the ground? I'd have remember. To go back to Lachos. Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah. No, yeah. He holds that the avil is supposed to like sit at like the head, and like everybody sits like around, and then like. Yeah.
And also, this is for the Kishimavrinoso, which is, I think, with the meal, right? And the Masubin also, to me, implies that, you know, that, but I don't know, I don't really know what the comparison is for the regular Avo case. Vim Nechnas L'Azarav Hayam Mizera David, if he enters the Azara and he's one of the Zera David Yeshiv, then he sits down. She'in Yeshiva B'Azara Ela L'Malchi Beis David B'Vad. Okay, only people who can sit in the Azara are Malchi Beis David. Shneim Raviyavu HaMelech David V'Yeshiv L'Vnei Hashem. I don't really know what the context there. Okay, I just wanted to get to this one because this is another haircut halacha. Hamelech mistaper b'chol yom. He gets a haircut every day, right? Umasakin atma umisnai b'levushim mefu'arim. And he has to like fix himself up and make himself beautiful with glorious garments. Shnemar melech biofio techazana einecha. A king in his beauty, your eyes will see. Biyoshiv al kisei malchus b'paltorin shelo. He should sit on his throne in his palace. Umesim keser brosho, and wear the crown on his head. B'chol ha'am b'ayin elav beis yirtze, and all the people come to him whenever they want. Umoni l'fanav mishtafim arza, and they come before him and they bow down. So that's a very interesting thing. Sorry, b'chol eish yirtze. I think that's whenever he wants, right? Not whenever they want. I don't think they could just like barge in. I know people have the right to consult the king, but like I assume he has some say. Unless I'm going to check it out though.
Well, they explicitly say they can't.
Right. Yeah, he could definitely say that.
Yeah, it says over there when he desires.
When he desires. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay. So there is this physical glory thing also. Okay. Let's stop here. And I kind of want to do this next week. Yeah. Okay.
I'm down.
Okay. All right. Let's do this then. All right, it's a fun odyssey here. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. All right. See ya, Chaim.
See ya.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening, thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.